All right, now we'll read our text together, Galatians and chapter number 6 in your Bible tonight, if you would please. Galatians and chapter number 6 tonight in the Word of God for our reading. Galatians chapter number 6, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 tonight, okay? Paul said in Galatians 6, 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burdens." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's go to him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the good singing tonight and the time of fellowship in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for our visitors. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to assemble and preach the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless thy word to every heart tonight. And, Lord, that you'd bless the preacher as I stand. I need help. I need the divine grace of God. I need, Lord, your power and your presence. May the Spirit of God work in me and through me tonight and make me a blessing and a help to your people. And if those here or by the radio need to be saved, I pray this would be the night that they'd come to Christ and let God work in their heart and life in such a divine way that they might repent and turn to thee and be saved. And then I pray for your people that you'd bless them, stir their hearts in love and grace. I pray, Lord, that you'll help them to grow in knowledge of the Lord and knowledge and grace. I ask you, Lord, to help now that those that are sick and away from us tonight, bless them and raise them. I pray from their sick beds, heal and touch their bodies, save sinners for the glory and honor of Jesus. And we'll thank you for it in his name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. All right. I want to preach out of verse number 2 tonight and on the thought of the law of Christ. But I want to say a couple of things about verse number 1 before I get there. Paul writing here to the Galatian church, and he's closing out his letter to them. And make no mistakes about it, he is writing to the brethren. He tells us so in verse number 1 when he said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault." And so it is possible to be overtaken in a fault. A lot of folks use that word fault for sin, and I don't have no problem with that, because if it's a fault, if it's a wrong against God, then it's a sin. But if any man be overtaken in a fault, that tells me that it's possible to do so. A lot of folks got the idea that they can't, but they better be careful when they say that, lest, Paul said, lest they themselves be tempted themselves. But he said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, now notice what he says, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." Now, he didn't say those that are carnal. He said those that are spiritual. Let that person that is a spiritual-minded man or a woman restore that individual in a spirit of meekness. Now, and I wrote down here in my notes, I said restore a real brother carefully, and a professor cautiously. And I think most men that are spiritual enough to have any discernment at all can have some idea whether a man or a woman saved by the grace of God. By their fruits ye shall know them. The Bible tells us that. And we ought to, if a brother has fallen into a fault or a sin, it ought to be a spiritual man that restores him, and he ought to do it very, very carefully. An offended brother is very difficult to ever be won back. And so it ought to be done carefully, but if it's a lost man, a professor, then he ought to be restored very cautiously. And he should be. I'm telling you, I went to visit a man some years ago from the church, and he had blowed up and reared up and blowed out, and I went to see him. And the man got very violent with me right in his own living room of his own home. To the very point, honestly, that I just very meekly and quietly got up and departed that place, because honestly, it put a sense of fear into my heart, and because of his hostility. And so the Lord said, "You better get up and get out." And I'm going to tell you what, I got out of Dodge right quick. Amen. and got up and gone. But he said, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So that tells me that this brother that's overtaken in his fault was tempted in some way or another and fell into that sin. And then Paul says that we're to restore him in that spirit of meekness, because we ourselves have the possibility of being tempted. And we do. We have the possibility of being tempted. And I want to say, brethren, that being tempted is not sin. But it is when we yield to that temptation, it's when we're sin. As the old saying goes, you can't help the birds from flying around your head, but you don't have to let them make a nest in your hair. And but mark it down, the devil is going to tempt you one way or another. But let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God. For God tempteth no man, neither can God be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And so we better be careful, because we ourselves have that possibility of being tempted. And then I think right behind that verse, or right after that verse, Paul makes a very precious statement. He said, bear ye one another's burdens. And what happens when we bear one another's burdens? The Bible said when we do that, then we fulfill the law of Christ. Now notice he did not say that we fulfill the law of God, but that we fulfill the law of Christ. And they're both somewhat in the same, but they're not the same. That law of Christ might be defined as the divine love, aided that divine love which is wrought in the renewed heart by the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit took up abode in our heart, the Bible said in Galatians 5:8 that the love of God was shed abroad in our heart. That very love that God has was shed abroad in our heart. Now, you know and I know that no man can fulfill the law of God, not any human being. And this is not talking about the law of God. Christ did fulfill the law of God. But I'm going to tell you, they're both very close together. And according to Paul in the book of Romans, chapter number 13 and verse 8, Paul said, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now that's talking about the law of God. Now I want to say to you, brethren, that he that fulfilled that law is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying that because Christ is the one that loved us. We can't fulfill God's law, but the fulfilling of God's law is to love. And it is. God gave a law that condemned, but that law wasn't full. It was filled up when Christ came into the world and died on the cross to save sinners. Somebody said in the prayer room tonight, I couldn't believe it, but they said it, that there was a sign on a billboard over in Muhlenberg County some time ago that said, anybody that believes in the New Testament what was the word they used, Brother Shelby? The devil. And I thought, how on heaven's name can anyone come up with that idea? Because without the New Testament, the Old Testament is not complete. For every sacrifice that was offered in the Old Testament pointed to the day that the Lamb of God should come into the world to take away our sins. And that he did. And he came into the world in love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the law of the Old Testament was a law, but Christ fulfilled that law in coming into the world and loving sinners whom he came to redeem by his precious and holy and wonderful blood. And so Paul goes on to say, therefore this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then it says in verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that's not, as I said, talking about the law of Christ. That is talking about the law of God. And Christ fulfilled that law in the fact that he loved you and I. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. And so that can be defined as that that divine love that is shed abroad in a man's heart by the Holy Spirit that is given unto him. And then it is evidenced by our love one for another. Now that is a fulfilling of the law of Christ. God, Christ loved you and I, fulfilling the law of God. But in order to fulfill the law of Christ, you and I are going to have to learn to love one another. Now, I know what people think when you start to preach on love. They get the idea that you've compromised. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you that I'm going to do my best to preach on that love tonight. Because, brethren, it's in the Bible. I'm going to tell you, no greater love hath a man than this, that a man lay down his life for his brethren. And I'm going to tell you, we are to imitate that love and fulfill that love as Christ loved you and I. We are to love our brethren. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And I believe that. A man that don't preach that is not preaching the whole counsel of God. Say amen right there. Hallelujah. And so it's evidenced by our love one for another. Notice what the Bible said in 1 John and chapter number 3 and verse number 14. The Bible said, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, church, I didn't write that in the Bible. Jesus wrote that in the Bible. John wrote that through inspiration of God, that because Christ loved us and laid down his life for us, that if we want to fulfill the law of Christ, then we're going to have to learn how to lay down our lives for the brethren. And I get to this in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I'm going to tell you right now, we're not going to be able to be selfish and fulfill that law. Somebody say amen. Yeah. We have got to learn to give ourselves to somebody else. Amen. That's right. We're going to have to learn. If we're going to love our brother, then we're going to have to give ourselves to somebody else and not be so selfish in our own life and want everything for old number one. But we're going to have to love somebody else like Christ loved us and do our best to love them. Amen. And show them that wonderful love. Amen. I know that's right. Then he goes on to say that whoso hath this world's good and see if his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion. From him how dwelleth the love of God in that man. And so it's evidenced by our love for one another. He also says in 1 John chapter number 4 and in verse number 20, if any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. That's pretty stout words, isn't it? Now, come on in the house. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We better be careful how we're living. We better be careful how we're living. If we have a little rip with somebody else in the church or somebody else we know, and we don't get that thing right, I'm going to tell you, it can grow into a menace for us. I don't believe a saved person could ever hate his brother, but I believe a professor that claims to be saved can hate his brother. And somebody that claims to be saved and has never been born again, you let a rift start in their heart over somebody else. And if they don't get that thing right, I'm telling you, somewhere down the line, hatred will creep into them. And it's written all over them in what they do in their conduct, how they conduct themselves. It is written all over them. And I'm telling you, you've got to be careful. You may prove yourself to be a professor and not a possessor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you're saved, the Holy Ghost, which has been given unto us, when it was given unto us, Paul said, the love of God was shed abroad in our heart. That says that, by the way, in Romans 5:8. And I looked up that word shed abroad one time. It means to gush out. In other words, God's love just gushed out toward us. It just gushed out in us. Now I'm going to tell you, if it gushed out in us, it ought to gush up out of us. The love of God ought to flow from us to other people, and especially our brethren. It is evidence, that love, that law being fulfilled in us, is evidence by our love for one another.
Amen.
Amen. Now, come on, smile, boys. Smile a little bit and help, Brother Hall. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right. If any man say, I love God, hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Pretty hard to do, isn't it? Pretty hard to do. I think that's pretty clear. And then again also, in John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 35, one of the prize verses on that. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Why, Brother Hall? If you have love one for another. He didn't say that people will know you're my disciples if you have good works. He said if you love one another. Amen. I'm telling you, love is the pinnacle of the Christian salvation. I've said a number of times now about it, these three, faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity, and that is without a doubt. Say amen right there. Amen. The great. You know why it is? Because it's very clear, because the Bible said God is love. How in heaven's name can we be conformed to the image of love if we don't have love in our heart for one another? Amen. How can we love Jesus? We say we love Jesus if we don't even love one another. Oh, come on in the house, boys and girls. Now I'm going to tell you, that love of God ought to be noticed somehow, some way, some form. It ought to be noticed by others around us.
That's right.
Amen. Amen, Brother Hall. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's move on. I could go to 1 John 5:2-3. I might just do that. 1 John 5:2-3, I might just go there right quick. He said, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Now, by this we know that we love the children of God. How? When we love God and keep His commandments. Now, that's not very hard to understand. Don't tell me how much we love God or one another, if we're not willing to be obedient to what that Bible teaches us. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if we're not obedient to what that Bible's got to say, I don't think the love of God dwells in a man. If he is not obedient to the commandments of Christ, how can a man love God and not love his church? Well, I believe a man loves God's church. He's going to want to be in the church if he's able to be there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe he's going to be part of that church if he can. I believe he's going to be part of the functions of that church if he can. Somebody said, why? Because God loved the church and gave himself for it.
Yeah.
And he purchased the church with his own blood. I'm telling you, the church is the apple of God's eye today. And don't tell me that we love God if we don't love the house of God. I don't need a word of it. You'll never convince Brother Hall of that, and I'll say that with a smile on my face. You'll never convince Brother Hall of that you love God if you don't love the house of God. Come on, I said, well, it's boring down there. Well, jump up and say amen, and maybe it'll get unboring.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody told me, they asked somebody the other day, said, what do you think of so-and-so? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? They said, I think it was boring. Well, if they'd get saved, they wouldn't think things is too boring.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I don't find a dull moment around the house of God. Somebody said, preacher, I do. I said a dull moment. I've seen some dead moments.
Right.
I don't believe in dull moments. That night I told poor old Brother Harden to hook that lapel mic on his nose. I'm going to tell you, that was a dead moment that night. Not a dull one, it was a dead one. Amen. Nonetheless, hallelujah. Amen. We'll keep His commandments. There's no doubt about that. Then I won't say that love is manifested when His love is perfected in us. When God's love is perfected in us, Christ's love is perfected in us. Well, what kind of love did Christ have? He had an unselfish love. The Bible said in the book of John, chapter 10 and verses 15 through 17, I'm not going to turn there, but he said in those verses, he said that he had the power to lay his life down, and he had the power to take it up again. And he laid it down and took it up for you and I. His love was not selfish. Amen. I wish God turned me loose right there just for a minute. Oh, Christ wasn't an unselfish Savior. He gave everything he had for your sakes. Though he were rich, yet he became poor for our sakes, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's right. He became flesh that he might be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He laid his life down on Calvary for you and I. Because why? He loved us. Amen. I was down at Brother, I believe I got this right. If I'm wrong, Brother Chuck, you correct me after service. But I believe Brother Simpson told me the other day, told his wife, said, honey, I love you. And she said, what makes you love me? He said, I don't know. I just love you. Brother Hall said, just love you because I love you. That's the way it is, friend. God's love's unselfish. He just loves us because he loves us. And it's so unselfish that he freely laid himself out for us. He gave himself for us. He lives today for us. Hey, by the way, he lived for you and I. He died for you and I. And again, he yet lives again for you and I. Amen. That is right. That's right. He's an unselfish. His love is an unselfish love. And oh, how unselfish we ought to be in our love for others. You know, I'm telling you, I believe we live in one of the most selfish generations I've ever lived in. I've lived 64 plus years. Now, I've never seen such selfish bunch of people as they are in the world today. It's all for old number one. But it's fight, scratch, claw, dig, whatever you can do. It's all for old number one anymore in this world today. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's no greater joy. You listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you now. There is no greater joy than to learn to love somebody else and to give that love of yours to somebody. I'm going to tell you, when I learned to try my best to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, when I done my best and set my mind to do that, things picked up in my heart between me and the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, our fellowship began to grow and was much greater. That's right. When you're not selfish with that love. By the way, if he has shed his broad blood abroad in our hearts, we ought to share that love with somebody else around us. Amen. That's right. Amen to God. That's right. His love is unselfish. And I'm going to get to those burdens in just a minute, so just hang with me. I ain't got to the message yet. His love is not only unselfish, but it's unequaled. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Can you tell me anybody that has the love equal to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you, that's Brother Jerome's favorite song, No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus. I'm going to tell you how true that is. Oh, no, unequaled from anyone. That's right. He doesn't have an equal. By the way, he's unique. The word unique means there's not another like him. Amen. And there's not another like Jesus. There's only one. There's only one. And his love is unequal. I don't know anybody else that gave themselves to save us. Amen. I don't know anybody else that suffered like he did to save you and I. I don't know anybody else that came from heaven and hanged upon a tree and died such a death as he for our sins as he did for everybody else's life like Christ. His love is unequaled. Then I want to say, thirdly, that his love is undeserving. Now, here's where I may set in for a minute. Somebody said, well, we deserve the love of God. Show me that place in the Bible. We do not deserve the love of God. We'll be in hell tonight. But by God's grace, we're not. But I'm telling you, if that love is going to be perfected in you and I, then we ought to be able to do our best to learn to love those that are undeserving of our love. Hey, it's easy to fall out with somebody. Come on now. It's easy to fall out with somebody and let that love for that individual get cold in our heart toward them. We better be so careful there. Somebody said, well, you don't know. They have offended me and they've opposed me and they've done this to me. You don't understand what all they've done to me. Do you understand what your sins did to God? How yet your sin transgressed the law of God. My sin transgressed the law of God.
Amen.
We'll deserve his love.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, somebody else may not. They may have offended you and you feel like they don't deserve your love. That's the very person you ought to set your mind on to love. Right there. The Bible said that we ought to love our enemies. Great day in the morning. Hey, if we can learn to love our enemies, we certainly ought to be able to love those we go to the house of God with. We ought to be able to love The brethren, if we can learn to love our... That is a difficult thing to love your enemies, ladies and gentlemen, but Christ did.
Amen.
He loved those that spit in His face, mocked Him, nailed the nails in His hands and His feet, and hanged Him on Calvary. He loved them. Somebody said, how do you know? Because He lifted His head up into heaven and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's how I know. Amen. That's right. And it's undeserving. His love is unfathomable. I didn't get that out right. I can't talk right much anymore. Something won't let me. And I think it's this thing up here in the noodle. In other words, you can't fathom the love of God. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 17 and 18 talks about the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of God. Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. His love is higher than the mountains. His love is deeper than the oceans. His love is wider than the world. The length and the breadth and the depth and the height of God's love. I don't know anybody that's ever reached it. We think we know how God loves. But I doubt very seriously that there's many today that know that. Some of the old timers may have come close. I think of David Livingstone dying on his knees in prayer in Africa, trying to blaze a trail through Africa, reaching the natives and mapping out a course on the continent. He died on his knees in prayer. They found him in a tent on his knees praying. He may have come close to that. E.M. Bounds spent hours a day in prayer and wrote a number of books on prayer. He may have come close to that. Other men like John Whitfield and others may have come close to that. But I don't know. Men like Spurgeon may have come close to that. I don't know what we would call more or less a modern day writer than Spurgeon. Any man that knew God any better than what he did. I mean, his writings is evident. But I doubted that he knew everything.
Right.
He is living today. I guarantee you, I've just touched the hem of his garment.
Amen.
I heard Harold Sotler say when he was way up in the years. He said, I've been preaching, I forget for how many years. And he was an old man at the time. And he said, I'm just now beginning to know a little bit about the love of God.
Yeah.
I heard Sammy Allen say one time that it took him 25 years to learn how to love his enemies and to pray for them. Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. A man that can love his enemies like that and pray for his enemies like that.
Amen.
Can somehow reach the depths of the love of God and the height of it. And I'm going to tell you, most of us know absolutely nothing about it. Or if we know much, it's very little. Who can comprehend it?
I don't know many that can comprehend the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of the love of God.
And to know the love of God, that passes not a little bit of understanding, but Paul said it passes all understanding. A-double-L! What's that mean when the Christian means all? Amen. That love of God, knowing that love of God, will pack all understanding. I'm going to tell you, you measure our love of God today by how much understanding we have of Him.
Amen.
Amen. And His work and His church and His Bible and His people. Come on in the house, children. May I say His love is unusual. And I want to read this because I'll get it wrong if I don't. Romans 5. Turn to Romans 5 in your Bibles. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
He didn't die for us after we were saved. While we were yet sinners.
Amen.
That blows a super hyper Calvinism theory down. He died for us in that while we were yet sinners.
Amen.
That's right. How unusual a love. I mean, they've been men in Vietnam, and I've read about some of them. And I don't have to go back there very often, but I've read about some of them and how they won their Medal of Honor. And I read about some of them not long ago, how some of those men threw themselves upon hand grenades that were thrown in their foxholes. And just maybe them and a buddy there. And they gave their life for that buddy. That is a great sacrifice. And that's a great love. You'd have to honestly say that man had to love that fellow in that foxhole with him. I read about where some of those fellas charged those machine gun nests and exposed themselves to open fire and gave their own life. Their own life. There was a fellow in the cab by the name of Espinosa that went off to the right flank over there and thought what was a machine gun nest and was going to take it out. But when he got there, he learned it wasn't a machine gun nest. It was an entrenched company of North Vietnamese regulars. And that poor soul jumped in that trench to try to fend off the enemy so his men could get a better position. And he killed seven of them, the last one barehanded, but when he ran out of ammo, they got him. He laid down his life for those men. He loved those men. He fought for those men. Now I'm telling you, Christ loved us and fought for us and died for us.
Amen.
How much more should we love one another and fight for one another? Amen. And lay our lives down for one another.
Amen.
That's an unusual love. That man, hey, them men gave their lives for somebody else, but that's pretty unusual. But it's even more unusual that while we were sinners, they were all sinners. But God wasn't, Christ wasn't a sinner. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Right.
Pretty unusual love, I'd say. When you, then I want to say, it's an untiring love. But you're not going to wear His love out. I've heard folks go to divorce court and say, well, just don't love anymore. We just don't love each other anymore. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and you'd know him if I called his name, Brother Joel. And I said, you said the other day that you wasn't married anymore. I said, did your wife die? He said, no. I said, we just couldn't make it anymore. Well, I wonder if they love one another.
Right.
Do you think that Christ's love for us gets tired? Does it ever get weary? Does it ever grow weak? Never.
Amen.
It's untiring.
That's right.
I'm thinking you can love 24/7, friend, and never grow weary of it. Never get tired of it. Boy, that's some love. I'm going to run that by you again. He can love 24/7, friend, and never get tired.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. Somebody said a man can only stand so much of anything. Oh, no. Oh, no. The more He loves us, the more we want that love.
Yeah.
Amen. Like that little old bride in the Song of Solomon. She said, stain me with apples. Stain me with... Huh?
Flagons.
Stay me with flagons. Prop me up, in other words. Love me some more. Now I'm going to tell you, He had plenty of love to give her.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. He's got plenty of love to give you, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and there's nothing any greater, any more wonderful.
Amen.
Than the whole God's love and working and His invitation in your heart and life. Oh, it's wonderful to have an understanding of God's love working in you and through you for His honor and His glory.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, the more of it you get, the more of it you'll want. Amen, that's right. It's untiring and it's unending, by the way. That's right. John 13:1 says, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end.
That's right, amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. If He loved them unto the end, don't you think He'll love you and I unto the end?
That's right.
I don't know where this Armenian crowd comes up with the idea for them to lose their salvation. God, that's what loving them.
That's right.
You get a hold of that? His love's unending, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Unending. It'll never end. Don't throw stones at me. He loved you. He loved you before you was.
Right.
And created you the way He wanted you to be. And brought you into the world the way you are. And loved you the way you are then. And He loved you the way you are now. I'm telling you, that love for you will never end. He loved from all eternity's past, and He will love for all eternity in the future.
Amen.
That love will never end in heaven for you.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful, though?
Amen.
Unending love. Reminds me of me and sister. You see that wing? Oh, Lord. I can knock me down for the goat.
I can't hardly take it.
What do you think about that, Brother Ray? I see some guys smiling. Some of these guys are learning a little bit. They're starting to buy flowers for their wives and take them out, dine with them, getaways with them. Somebody said, do you like that? I love that. Amen. You know why? Why wouldn't a man? Hey, now I'm not trying to be ugly. Why wouldn't a man want to be alone with his wife, son?
Right.
Can I say this? That Christ loves to be alone with you and I.
Right.
There's no greater time that we'll have in the Lord than those hours that we spend in solitude with Him.
Right.
With no interruptions there. Nobody but us and Him together.
Amen.
In holy communion together. I'm going to tell you, man and his wife can have a wonderful time together. If they don't do anything instead of cross and one another, talk, they can have a wonderful time.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of you fellas sitting back there look like, bless God, you swallowed a goldfish or something. That's unending love. Then he said, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What kind of burdens is that? Now, you may not agree with me on all these. In fact, I doubt that many of you will agree with me at all on any of them. I hope you do, and I hope I can bear it out by the Scripture. But I want to say, hey, in bearing one another's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ in bearing one another's burdens, bear their burden of sin. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, we can't do that. Oh, yes, in His own body. In His own body. He bare our sins on Calvary. That's right. Christ bore your sins and my sins in His own body when He went up Calvary's tree. If you want to look at how to bear sins, look to the cross.
Amen.
It was at the cross where He bare your sins and my sins and died there with our sins. Amen. And took them to a Sadducee's grave and left them there. And He's coming back again without sin unto salvation. Oh, but look for Him. He's coming again. Now somebody said, preacher, what has that got to do with you and I? How can we bear somebody's sins? Well, I'm going to tell you, first of all, I'm going to tell you how not to bear somebody's sins.
You don't have to run and tell every stinking thing you know.
Right.
I learned a long time ago when they got dryers and put them in the houses. Mama didn't have a dryer. Oh, she had an old ring washer. She didn't know what a dryer was. Her dryer was the sunshine and a clothesline. And all of us boys, all we had was holy underwear. Mama had to hang that out and poke everybody to drive by and see. Hang it. I mean, everybody drove by the house to see it. And I'm going to tell you, there's no need to be Christian to hang out there dirty laundry from everybody else. There's no need for somebody running and telling somebody else about somebody else's sin.
Right. Amen.
You know what the Proverbs 4 says about that? Go and tell Jesus on me.
Amen.
If my faults and failures, you see, go tell another. Amen.
Amen.
Go and tell Jesus on me.
Amen.
We can bear one another's burdens in prayer.
Amen.
Carry them on our heart. We don't have to tell them. I'm going to say that's a heavy load on us. You get a hold of this. To bear somebody's sin in your heart, somebody you know, hey, you don't have to tell them about it, pray for them. Let God take care of it. I'm going to tell you the biggest problem we've got in Baptist churches is people, are you listening to me now? Is people trying to handle the sins of somebody else in the church. You ain't going to get the job done, friend.
Right.
If God doesn't take care of that sin, it ain't going to get taken care of. The best thing you can do is get on your knees and bear their sins on your heart and tell God about it.
Amen.
Listening?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not talking about a preacher not preaching against sin. I'm talking about somebody you know in the church and you run around running your mouth about everything they're doing wrong. Well, what are you doing right?
Right.
I'm going to tell you, every one of us in here lives in a glass house, friend. You better be careful throwing rocks. Someday, some of these days, somebody will pick one up and throw it back at you. Everybody in here lives that way. Everybody in here is out of Adam's loins. I don't see any pin feathers growing on none of us. I've got a picture of some feathers growing on me one day back there, but that's a different story altogether. They wasn't really growing. They were just put there. But I don't know anybody in here that's arrived yet. So we better be careful. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, lest ye also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, if you've got to know a brother that's been tempted, or a sister that's been tempted, ain't no need of you running your stinking mouth about it to everybody else. You don't have to tell everything you know about somebody.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if every one of us in here right now got up and started telling everything we know about somebody else that we see as bad in them, it'd be holy war, buddy. It'd be every man for himself. Pack up, pull out your razor, go pocket knife, son, and go to work. Am I telling them right or not? You are telling them. What if some of you men and women, wives and husbands just got up and started telling the whole church your problems and your fault? What are you going to hold one of those? Oh, my! I'll tell you, World War III, when you got home tonight.
Right.
You don't have to do that. Bear one another's burdens by bearing their sins upon your own heart. Carry that sin to the throne of God! Oh, I'm telling you. You know what? And I'm going to say this. Some of you are going to think I'm better than Pamela. But Pamela, you got one up there. I'm better than Fruit Cake. Anyway. I was not going to say this really. You know what I'm talking about? What's going on? No. That happens when you get old. Talking about bearing somebody's sins in your own heart in prayer and in intercession. I believe it can be done. Without a shadow of a doubt, I believe it can be done. There'll be some people who'll say, well, you know, I don't believe we have no sin. But John said in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
That's right, man.
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to say. Come back. Come up out of the computer and jump over the top of the ring one more time. Amen. I better shut up and say it probably. That's getting bad, boy. God help us. I'm thinking. I got it.
You're going to think I'm crazy when I say this? But I learned a long time ago that if I pray for the sins of somebody else, instead of worrying about me all the time,
right,
that God will get me through my sin as well as deliver my brother from our sister from their sin.
Amen.
All at the same time. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Amen. When I just pray for the sins of my brothers and sisters in Christ, God Almighty will take care of mine for me.
Amen.
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 Somebody says, I don't believe it. You don't have to. Because I'm going to tell you more how he does it. You'll not get very far praying for somebody else's sins or you get yours right with God to start with.
That's right.
Say amen now.
Yes, sir.
Not only the burden of sin, but we ought to bear their burden of shame. I think about that good Samaritan. That man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among those thieves. The Bible said that he was stripped of his, and robbed and stripped and left half dead, and the priest and the Levite both walked by, paid him no attention. Instead, a good Samaritan walked by and went over to the ditch and looked down into the ditch where he was at. But he didn't stop there. He didn't just stop and look down into that ditch. He had a little bit of compassion about him.
Amen.
A little bit of love about him, a little bit of compassion about him. And he didn't just look down in that ditch, but he condescended and got down in that ditch where that man was at. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Now, I'm not I'm not saying go to the bars like what's your name did in New Orleans. You wind up a drunk and chasing women, sure as you do. And I'm telling you, we're not going to get anybody out of the ditch without getting in the ditch with them.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? He got down in that ditch. We have found ourselves in our generation so good that we think we're going to be better than everybody else. We're not going to throw up our hands today with some sinner. Why, after all, he wears an earring in his ears. Come on, baby, reach it. He's got tattoos all over his arm. He's probably a dog daddy. She's probably a prostitute. I don't want to associate myself with nobody like that. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Are you listening to me? We might have learned from Brother Shane.
Well,
by the way, that goes the same. I said that about sin, but that goes the same for a brother, sister, and brethren. We might be able to take it in thought.
That's right.
Jesus was spiritual. We're still just one of
them. Amen.
Let's see yourself be tempted.
Right.
Bear you one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, if you see your brother or your sister in the ditch of shame, but you know what we like to do when when a Christian falls? We like to kick him in the teeth. Oh, come on in the house.
Right.
Somebody falls, we like to talk about them or how they deserved it, one thing or another. But I'm telling you, not very many people that have heard that shame.
Amen.
Their shame of being friends with them. Or did you hear about old so-and-so? I saw him the other day with so-and-so. And you know what happened to so-and-so, don't you? Yeah, I do. I can't believe anybody would say a word to them. Say a word to him or her. That's the way we are today, friend. We want to shun those that fall in the Christian ranks. We're the only army on earth that I know that has joy in taking the lives of their own soldiers. But we do. He clothed his wounds. He poured in that oil and that wine. He cheered him up a little bit. Amen. When was the last time that you carried your brother's shame by trying to cheer him up a little bit? You know he's been through a hard time and may even be sin in the life. I don't know. Problems. I don't know. When's the last time you tried to cheer somebody out just a little bit? Went to them with a word that is fitly spoken. It's like apples of gold and pictures of silver, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, sometimes just a word will lift somebody.
Amen.
Just like that fear of John, I understand that group of man was lost, picture of lost man. He said, there, baby, don't be a real strong consumer and go have my mind. Sometimes I have a few items in, and then Jesus Christ and Heather rise up and walk. And that old boy heard the word of Peter and did what? He got up and walked, went into the house of God, walking and leaping and praising God.
Amen.
Hear it. What Peter had to say. And I'm going to tell you to be surprised. The smile that you can put back on somebody's face, just by a simple call or a word to them, how it will help them in their Christian life.
Amen.
Amen.
Boy, it's quiet.
Great preacher.
Great. 8 o'clock. I preached too long. It's already 8 o'clock. Then he not only cheered him up, but he carried him to the inn, put him on his own beast, and cared for him. I want to say, somebody said, well, I don't do that. Hey, before you and I were saved, we were a shame and a disgrace before the heathen. We were a shame and a disgrace before the heavenly host. We were a shame and a disgrace before the heart of God. And that's right, a shame and disgrace. But Jesus, came to the ditch where you and I were. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He got down in that ditch where we was at.
Yep.
He was made to be sin for us. Oh, hallelujah. And with tender hands, he lifted us out of that ditch. Hallelujah. Then I want to say, we ought to bear the burden of suffering. When I think of the burden of suffering, we all think of Job. I guess Job suffered like nobody else in the Bible other than the Lord Jesus, I would suppose. Maybe Paul, I don't know. But I know that Job suffered a great deal. And he had three so-called friends that were supposed to be friends. But here's what he said about them. Job answered and said, I have heard many such things, but miserable comforters are ye all. Miserable comforters are ye all. Psalm 69 and verse number 20. That was in 16 and verse 1, by the way, of Job. Psalm 69 and verse 20. I've read over this verse so many times. Reproach hath broken my heart. I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity. But there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. David said, I look for somebody to take pity on me. I don't know what his trouble was at the time. I've not done background study on it right now. I don't know what his problem was at the time. But David said, I just look for somebody that would pity me. And somebody said, you ought to pity people. Sometimes people that's in a pity party needs to be pitied a little bit. Sometimes people that are sick need to be pitied a little bit.
Amen.
Sometimes people that are grieved need to be pitied a little bit. Now, I say this to you. That out of all the preachers that I know, two preachers and a man. When I got sick all this year, last year, and was in the hospital all over town, two preachers and one individual called me more than anybody else. And that was Senator Blue and Brother Billy Walton and that girl man. Those three. Called all some of them, put a little thing on Facebook. We're missing all over death. But I'm talking about calling them and letting me know that you're praying for me. Well, I'm telling you, sometimes when we get in a bad way,
right?
We just need to be pitied a little bit. That's right. That pity will cheer us. That cheer us to help us move along down the way. Just a little bit. Now, I'm talking about people outside. I'm not talking about people inside. I'm talking about people outside. Had another preacher call me because he wanted something. God help us. Because everyone knows the verses and fulfill the law of Christ. And that law is love one another. Christ loved us and fulfilled the law of God. And we're loved one another and fulfilled